The following episode of Fuller Brown is for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Fuller Brown.
Embarrassing because I knew why we couldn't get a card. It was like, I don't have a real ID, lady. She's like, I don't give a fuck.
I guess she feels sorry for it. She's like, oh, okay, then here you go. And I remember, I think I still have it somewhere.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It made me feel old. I'm like, damn.
You know what I found the other day? I found my library card. And I was like, who? Do people still use that? Or is that still a thing?
No, it's still a thing.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I used to go to rent movies.
Yeah.
Fuck books. I just used to go rent movies.
Yeah. Some like weird movies like nobody's seen before. Like,
Matilda.
Yeah.
Like, or the Arthur.
Yeah, but I remember we used to go all the time. We had no lives.
We didn't have a life. I don't regret it though, because that was really good.
I blame my high cholesterol because of that, man.
Pizza, you have high cholesterol now?
Yes, dude. Like, I get the freaking, like, the bochornos. I'm like, dude.
What is that?
Like, my blood pressure goes all over the place, and then my cholesterol makes me feel like I just want to sit there in a corner just staring at space. Man.
You have that. I have diabetes. There we go. That's how it went.
Man, probably.
When we ate really bad.
It makes me want to go get some tacos, man.
And hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were always with your little red hot Cheeto fingers everywhere.
And my nails.
Snack for later.
Yeah.
Dude, man, we did a lot of stuff.
All times.
You know what I was thinking the other day?
What?
I'm surprised we never fought, like fought.
No, we did, but it wasn't really.
Well, that's what I meant. I was like, why didn't I ever punch him? Cause like we got
you did kick my thumb and almost broke it. Remember?
You need to let that go, bro.
Like, so I had to play the piano that Sunday, and I was like, I was crippled.
You had ET fingers that day.
I was pastor. I can't play because Tony broke my thumb.
What do you say? You're playing anyway. It's for the Lord.
That was tough, man. That was tough. It was for the Lord.
Amen. No, I was thinking about this. My dad asked me. This is something I admit to you that's really embarrassing. There was a moment when you were going to move to Florida. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay. I cried for the longest time.
No way.
Did I tell you?
No, you didn't.
I cried for the longest time and I was like, Dad, no. He's like, he'll be back. Like, he won't be back. Like, nobody comes back from Florida.
No.
And he was like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I don't know. Adopt him. Like, bring him into the house or something.
You said that?
Yes. And my dad reminded me of that the other day. He was like, do you remember when you were crying for like 3 days straight? I'm like, yes.
You never told me that. What the heck, dude?
I never told you?
No.
I was hurt. I was like, man.
I was really going to go. They actually went. And I stood behind.
I remember that. Yeah.
I remember you helped me clean out the apartment because they moved out. And you helped me like move all the crap out of there because I had to like leave.
I'm laughing because I remember we had to ditch school because the people were going to come in to like fumigate.
Yeah.
And I fell
asleep. They're freaking roaches, yes. Dude. Oh my God.
No, but do you remember? I fell asleep and I got high as hell.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Mm-hmm. You're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, you're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing. I was trying to pretend I was all cool and whatnot.
Man, I should have worried. You probably died in there. Freaking.
If it had meant that I had to go pick you up from school, because I was like, you know what? I'm a good friend. I'll do it.
What did
you
stay? Wait, you stood behind while I went to school?
Supposed to stay in your apartment and let him in.
Oh, okay.
And then I was supposed to go to school.
Okay.
Because you were like, I already have 10 absences. I can't miss school. So like, just you know, stay there. And then whenever they come, you know, whatever. And then you go back to school. I never went back to school. So I just got a bunch of snacks. I was watching your movies. And like after they were done, like I fell asleep.
Okay, yeah, I remember now.
And then I was like, I don't know how I woke up, and it was like 1:55 because at that time school was out at 2:10.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I had to go pick him up, and I was like, I felt really bad, but I don't know what was wrong with me, you know, because I was a good Christian boy. So I was like, I don't know what high was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you were like, what's wrong with you? Like you look all tired. You look loopy. I'm like, I feel fine. What do you mean? And I was thinking about the other day, I was like, how embarrassing was that?
Yeah, because that was the same process, at the same timeline, because you helped me move out. And it was just hectic. And
I'm glad you got to stay, though.
I do, but at the same time, like, I want to get into that. Yeah.
I want to get into that. Cause... Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. But no, my dad was telling me the other day, he's like, do you remember you were just crying forever? I was like, shut up. Because to him, it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, back then, like, I'm telling you, when I was crying with my soul. I was like, no.
We were tight, man.
We were tight. Yeah. We still are. Yeah, we're just now adults, so it's different.
Yeah.
We can just grab Hot Cheetos now.
No, dude, I get so, like, heartburn, man, shoot.
Oh.
Can't no more.
We cannot. I'm telling you, like, the way my stomach feels like now, like... My friends at work make fun of me. They're like, "You have a white bitch stomach." Like,
dude, it's like when I'm 35. How old are you?
I'm turning 34.
Yeah. So it's like everything, like your body's like warning you. Like I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
High cholesterol.
Yeah.
My knees hurt because of my work.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like I get really bad sleep because of my kids, and I'm like, dude, I'm probably gonna die in like 5 more years.
No, don't say that.
I told my wife, man, I feel so bad. Like sometimes I feel so bad. Just take me to the pound and you get me euthanized. Like, get it over with. I'm done. It's cheaper that way.
I told my dad I wanted to be cremated, and he's like, no, like because I'm thinking, like honestly, I mean, we were bad people in general. Oh, no, we're not bad people. We were dumb teenagers. Like, I feel like...
That's what you do. You're a teenager.
I know, but to me, even now, like, those standards were not even high standards. Because to me, us being bad was just, like, watching movies, staying up all night, da, da, da. But if we would have been regular teenagers, like, we would have been drunk as hell. We would have been high as hell. We would have been doing a bunch of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
More than we did. But... Yeah, I'm paying the consequences now. I mean, I broke my hip. My knees hurt. Like, it's bad.
And then I got stabbed today.
What?
Yeah, because I was painting. We were about to paint, and I was going to remove a blind.
Yeah.
And you know those brackets on the sides?
Like those? Oh, no, you can't
really see them. The blind. And there's brackets on both sides.
Metal?
Yes, uh-huh. That holds the
actual. Oh, right, right, yeah, yeah.
And I removed one of them, like pop it up.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to like fold the blind together and remove it. And I removed one of them and I was like, oh, I forgot to fold it. So I was folding it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, dude, it's going to, my brain told me, dude, it's going to fall off.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, you know, I can just be careful and fold it up. That when I was doing so that, like the side with the the bracket was off.
Yeah.
It came off. And then I was trying to catch it and one of the blades got me.
Oh, that looks really painful.
Yeah, I was like, I got a boo-boo.
That's going to tell you you're a father. Like, I got a boo-boo. I got a boo-boo. How do you say that in Spanish?
I don't know, man.
Tengo un chipón. Chipote.
Un chipote?
Yeah. You're from Coahuila, right?
Yeah.
Because every time
un chipote is...
Like a bump, like, isn't it?
Yeah, like a bump.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because every time I say that, nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah,
like chipote.
Chipote chillon.
Well, thank you for coming back on the show. If you're listening, you were on season one. We talked about...
I'm an OG.
Yeah, you're an OG. You're a friend of the show. You're a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we had plenty of, you know, good times, but... The last time you were here, we talked about you becoming a father. We talked about you, you know, struggling with your family to start the family. Da, da, da. So what's been happening with you ever since?
My kids are older. Yeah. And the oldest is talking back. He's like, sup? Not really, but he's like,
he doesn't flip you off yet?
No, but he throws a... Tantrums like there's no tomorrow.
Really? And
with all of them growing up at the same time because they're only like a couple of years apart each.
Yeah, they're right back to back.
And it's like I have a full-time job out there, and then when I get home, I'm a WWE referee. I'm like, come on, man, get out of the way.
Man, are they like mini yous or like big mini hurts?
Oh, it's a mixture, but it's mostly me. They're like the worst part.
I was gonna say, does that suck for you?
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh man.
But it's all good, man. It's the way life goes.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it. Most of the time, we're having a good time.
Yeah,
And it, you know, they're amazing. They're pretty funny most of the time. And
yeah,
they were actually under the weather last week, and yeah. I had all of them sick. Because here's the thing: I'm a contractor,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time I had to go to people's houses and give estimates.
Right.
And on this particular job, I stopped by, and the client, after I walked throughout the whole house, there was one room. She's like, "Oh, let's not go in there because she has a bug." I'm like, "You're telling me this now?"
Wow.
And like a couple of days later, my middle one got sick.
Oh.
I got sick a little bit. Like I got a cold, what's it called?
A cold sore?
Cold sore, yeah.
Yeah.
But so I knew I had it. And then my middle one, and then my oldest, and my little one. And it's been.
Dang. And that's tough. Because yeah. I mean, at that age, I mean.
Ugh. It was just a common cold. They're over.
I know, but it. Ugh, if I get annoyed getting a cold at this age, I can only imagine like them just screaming, crying, you know, turning over, can't really sleep, no comen, you know, like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, that's the toughest one because they don't want to eat. So they don't eat, they don't get energy, they don't get their nutrients.
Right. Because apparently we're supposed to have nutrients.
Yeah.
We're learning that now. Because when we were kids, we didn't.
Eat your beans, man. Eat your
beans. Does your wife cook?
Oh, yeah. She's a great cook.
Does she?
Yeah.
Did she cook the... Oh, you were telling me the other day that she made you burritos.
For lunch?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Let me tell you, her side of the family can cook.
Her mom.
Yeah. So every time I think of her like cooking, I always imagine her burritos.
Oh, but yeah. I remember you telling me... And I
did I ever
about,
tell you?
Yeah, I remember about you telling me about a mouse or something.
Okay. Her mom used to babysit me and my sister. And she would make burritos every day. Like she would sell them to, you know, different, you know, construction workers. So since she would babysit us, she would always make us some, and they were bomb. Like when I tell you they were good, like they were good. And one time I was so sad. I cried. She was making them and she saw a rat like cross the table and she fainted. And I laughed so hard at that because the way she... I'm sorry if she's listening to this. I'm really sorry. The way she fainted, it was all like telenovela. Like,
yeah.
She fainted in like three sections. She's like, oh. And then finally she fell.
No.
I laughed my ass off. Well, she was like, we ain't babysitting y'all no more. It like, I was so sad because I couldn't get the burritos anymore. Like, I was in it for the burritos.
Yeah, she's a great cook, man. I remember even my wife tells that story.
She remembers that story?
Yeah, she remembers.
Oh, I was hoping she wouldn't remember.
Yeah, she does. She remembers you guys coming over as well.
She probably hated us being there because I would have. I'm like, what are y'all doing here? And then she had, because we weren't allowed to play video games as kids, so she had a Sega. I don't even know the name. She had a Sega, and she was like, why does she get to have a Sega? I want a video game. She was like, you guys want to play? I'm like, yeah. But obviously, I never grew up with it, so I was really bad at it. But
well, I'm still a gamer, so.
Are you?
Yeah.
How do you have time?
You just do. My wife says that I should become a streamer because when I'm playing, like, I just speak nonsense.
You should. Why don't you? Get paid for it.
I just don't have the time. Like, I have the time to play, and I'm pretty dedicated, but I just don't feel... I don't know. I guess I can...
What would be the difference? I mean, you just hit record.
Because I guess, like, my kids are going to be like, hey, what's up?
But that's kind of the funny part of it. You know, it's kind of like the why people will probably tune in.
Because, like, I role play a lot when I'm playing. And so I'm like,
but what does that mean?
Like role playing, like it's like you're
like Dungeons and Dragons.
No, it's like you're playing and you just so get so into it that you just
I see what you're saying.
You just see the interact with the things that you see. And
oh,
you just
yeah.
Keep on going.
I've seen that side of you. It's kind of scary, to be honest.
It's creepy. Yeah.
Like, get the thing. I'm like, what the hell? And I don't get the game.
That's the part of y'all.
But you should totally do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
think, make money I'll off think, of it, you know?
That, yeah.
People probably pay to watch you because you play a lot.
I probably probably aim towards more the Latinos, the Mexicans. But like,
yeah. Like, you'd probably be like that little kid. Did you see that little video of that kid that was running his bike down the street? And he's like, quítate la verga! You'd probably be like that. You'd probably become a meme.
Probably.
You probably would. You have some funny lines.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot, man.
You're like the what was it? King of the Hill in person. Like the stuff you say sometimes, I know you don't mean to be funny, but it's funny to me.
My wife thinks that, and she reminds me all the time.
She's really?
Like, it's like, you don't think, you just say things. I'm like...
And it's hilarious.
Yeah. Like when I play Destiny a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like playing, and there's three classes. There's Titan, Warlock, and Hunter.
I mean, yeah, sure.
And then so I mainly play the Titan, right?
Okay.
And I freaking hate Hunters. So when I'm playing competitive and all the classes are mixed together, I'm like,
yeah.
Fuck you, bitch. I killed freaking Hunter.
And see, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So I'm like, I just get so competitive and I'm like, teabag. And like,
Yeah. That's hilarious. You should really do that. Because I remember when I started the podcast, we were going to start a second show.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would have been really hilarious. I mean, we still can.
Yeah,
but I don't know. The way our commentary is really funny.
Hey, man, I'm down.
Let's do it.
I'm down.
Let's do it. But I had...
Juanito.
Yeah, I had Juan last season, and he was talking about you a little bit. And he was like, how was it when he was with you on the show? And I was like, he was fine. I mean, we had a good time, you know, da, da, da. He's like, yeah, man, I was hoping you would get him mad. Like, why? He's like, because the way he gets angry, like, it's so funny to him. And I was like, I haven't seen you angry in a while. So I was like, I don't know how that would look like now.
Like, it's like they know how to get to me. Like there's mainly like three of us like play together most of the time. Lately we haven't played together. Like we're all doing our own thing. Yeah. It's like those suckers know how to get me. Like and they get a laugh out of it. They're like, I guess low key troll me and react and I'm like, pícate la cola,
Juan. Because he was here and I was like, no, it wasn't that kind of conversation. He's like, oh man, I'm like, I would have paid a good money to see that. I was like, I mean, I don't know. We weren't talking about anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
But today might be a different story, so I don't know how that's gonna go. Hopefully, I'm not gonna get you angry or.
No, I'm. I get angry all the time. Yeah. Even when I'm by myself, so you'll be good.
Okay. But you by yourself?
Yeah.
You get angry at yourself?
Yeah. I'm like when I'm doing something, I'm like, you're a dumbass, man. You know, you do this differently.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of regrets?
I do, man. And that's what I want to talk about. Do you want to get into the subject
now? Yeah, let's get into it.
So basically, I was brought up to church at the age of 16. Yeah. And that's when I actually met you, right? I was 16.
We were 16, yeah.
Yeah. And I was brought up then. So I guess that's one of the things that I kind of regret about me. It's not enjoying my youth as I wanted to now that I'm 35, man. Yeah. I just feel like I was robbed. You know, what a.
And how did you even get to the church? Who took you?
I don't know if you remember Mano Peña.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he met my dad while he was looking for a job somewhere. So they met, and then so he came over, and then he started to talk to my dad about God.
Okay.
And then we just kind of all pieced together, and we went to church for the first time, and I really liked the music, and I was like, hey, I like the way the guy sings, you know, Manukuko, and I was like, man,
he's such a good singer.
He is such a good singer. Yeah. I have nothing negative about him. He was always a good role model to me.
Yeah.
And until now, I'm like, man, shout out to Brother Kuko.
Yeah, no, he gave me the best compliment one time, and I didn't want to show it to him, but it made me cry. Like, I saw him randomly, like, at a random church service, like, a long time ago. And I was like, oh, my God, Brother Kuko, I haven't seen you in a long time. Like, I missed you. He's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, well, you know, why wouldn't I? He's like, oh, I don't know. Da, da, da. And then I was like, are you still singing? He's like, oh, no, you know, these jóvenes took over, you know, da, da, da. And I was like, man, like, my dad still has his cassette tapes because, like, he was an OG person that brought, like, mixtapes. Like, he would have, like, a bunch of songs that he would... Did he ever write songs? I don't remember if he did or not.
He probably did.
Right? Okay. But he was really good. And one time, he was like, hey, you know, we were eating after the service, and he was like, can I tell you something? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're like, the best drummer I've ever played with. And I was like, what?
You were always my best drummer as well, man. I always told you that.
Oh, that was that made me cry. And I was like, no, because he's played with a lot of people. I'm like, no. Like, I thought he was just, like, pulling my foot, you know, like, mm-hmm. He's like, no, like, I'm serious. Like, the way you play, it's such a style that it's, like, unique. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, like, I wanted you to know because I don't know when the next time I'm going to see you. He's like, you're one of the best players I played with. Like, oh, thank you. And then I went, like, I drove home and I was like.
No, and I do. I always told you that, man, because you, the way you play.
Yeah.
Play before and probably play now. It's like you don't oversaturate anything. Like, mm-hmm. whenever you play the drums, it's like you're not playing bang, 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 just hitting all those whatever,
yeah, symbols, yeah.
whatever. It's like you play the rhythm and then you know what to do. It's like, I don't know. To me, I really liked it, man.
Yeah, I miss it. I really do. I've been looking for a band recently. I did two auditions. Como la flor, como la flor. No, I went to two auditions to join a band and I didn't get in, but.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm like, send a video, and I don't have any video of me playing. I only have one video that I play with Saulito, and we were doing like merengue kind of. And I sent that video. He's like, you're really good. Unfortunately, right now we don't have any available drumming spots. He's like, but you know, you mentioned you were a singer too. Do you want to try for that? I'm like, no, I'm not a confident singer, but. Yeah, I've been looking for a band. So hopefully I get to find something that I can.
No, I guess me, I'm just over it. I feel like I'm just done.
Really?
Yeah. I play
in general?
Yeah, I play at home, you know, and I bought a piano to teach my son.
Yeah.
But I guess like in public, I just feel like I'm done, man. I just feel like.
Let's talk about that, because what does that mean? Whatever you went through, did that affect your talent?
Yes. And that was one of the things that I want to talk about. Like I said, when I was introduced to the church, music was a huge part of my life.
Yeah,
you know, because
did you play before? No, verdad?
Before then,
yeah.
Oh no, I had no zero experience.
You taught yourself,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Brother Cuco taught me a couple of things, mm-hmm. but it was mostly like through ear, like just watching him.
Yeah,
and I remember. Whenever they gave me the opportunity a little bit, in high school, I used to go to the library and I used to print out La Cuerda songs, and it gives you the chords.
Oh my God.
And that was my humble start.
Yeah.
I never considered myself a great player.
Yeah.
But because nobody taught me in depth how to play that instrument. So gotcha. It was basically self-taught.
Yeah.
And I think I got pretty good.
I think so too. Because you play piano and what else?
A little bit of guitar and just a tiny bit of accordion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, that's multi-talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw Brother Cuco playing the piano. And then whenever like somebody missed service... Like, he would play the guitar, because I guess it was more fitting. So nobody would play the piano. I was like, man, I should give it a shot, you know. Or yeah. whenever he couldn't make it to the service,
yeah.
like, there was nobody else to play it. So I was like, man, I want to give it a shot.
And yeah. then
over time, you know, I started to learn, and I started getting a little better. And
yeah.
And he was great, man. Music for me was pretty much everything. And
do you think if we had not become musicians, we wouldn't have lasted as long as we did?
Probably church. To me, probably, because
you think so, you would,
yeah, because music for me was everything, man. It was the reason why I went to church in the first place, you know, because I had a position and you know I had to be there every Wednesday or every Sunday,
yeah,
even sometimes on Friday for prayer, and that was rare because I had to work. It was just it would fill me,
yeah,
you know, my own personal self.
Yeah. So for anybody that's listening, let me give you a little backstory. So we grew up together. And a Pentecostal Spanish church, you know, we're not going to say the name of the organization. So kind of to give you a backstory that, which if you're a constant listener of the show, I've talked about this before where it's a, you know, religion that's kind of, they kind of pretty much tell you what to do, you know, how to dress, how to talk, you know, and they kind of bring you up to be like this person in society. And if you're not really okay, it messes with you, you know. It,
yeah.
So. Sorry, I'm just giving the people a little bit of backstory, just in case they don't know what we're talking about.
Yes. So,
go on. Sorry.
Growing up in that environment, like, he, instead of bringing me closer to my dad, it was more of a negative effect.
To your dad?
To my dad. Because he's always been like very skeptical about church,
mm-hmm.
or men in general. Like, he's been, I guess it's because he lived a really hard childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to trust people is very, very hard.
Mm.
So growing up, he went to church for a little bit. And then something happened. I don't honestly don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So he stopped going to church. Yeah. And then my mom stopped going to church, and then my brother. So it was just me.
Yeah. It was just you for a long time.
It was me
most of since the time, forever. Actually, yeah.
Since the time I left.
Yeah.
Because they never truly came back.
Yeah.
So throughout the whole time, I feel like religion really changed me negatively with my dad, with my parents, because, and I do admit it with him later, because he would tell me that I felt like I was more than them.
Mm.
You know, that just because I had a status, you know, status in church, that I made him feel less. And he was right. He was right.
So he felt less than you?
Yes, because I would treat him like crap. Because this is what I want to get when I get into. Whenever growing up in that religion whatever you want to call it, some people don't like to call it religion. They're just a church.
Sure.
But the way they indoctrinate you is that you should not mix yourself with worldly people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's including family members.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I felt like my parents, just because they weren't baptized, they weren't, I would say, worthy of me being around them, because I was gonna get contaminated.
Mm.
So because that's the way they teach you. They're like, okay, you know what? Even I don't know if you remember, like growing, like in the youth, that they wouldn't even let us hang out with people from a different religion. Remember, like, remember if we met somebody else, hey, you know, we got a Pentecostal church, you want to hang out, you're like, yeah, let's go. But they'll be like, hey, you need to be careful because you don't know their beliefs. And I'm like, okay, you know. Yeah. So they basically, I felt like growing up, I was young, I was 16, I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of experience with life.
Yeah.
So I felt like a lot of that I was being controlled at a certain point. Most of it was my fault. It was mainly a me problem. You know, I'm not blaming a specific person. I'm not blaming a specific religion. It was mainly the way they indoctrinate you.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's the way you took it.
To your core, they make you believe that.
Yeah.
In high school, I was like, oh, you know, I had few friends. I probably had two friends in high school, like really good friends. But other than that, I just felt like, you know, I can't hang out with you because you don't believe the same thing I do. And maybe you might draw me away from church, you know, and you to the devil.
Yeah, which is kind of astonishing to me, if I can be honest with you, just because you got into the church when you were 16. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's crazy how much you adapted to the lifestyle. Because, I mean, I grew up in it since I was, like, born.
Yeah.
So to me, it was normal. But to me, to kind of see you enter it at such a late age in life and adapt to it, like, that's pretty, you know. I don't know if that says a lot about the religion or if that says a lot about you, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, you
adapted pretty quick. To me, it was both. It was both in my position, because like I said, like, I let them get to me.
Yeah.
Like, I let them control my life. Like when you ask me, do I regret anything? I do regret everything. Not about God, because I still pray, you know, I still put like Christian songs in my house, but I do regret not spending as much time with my parents
mm-hmm.
in my youth years. Now me and my dad are tight, you know, we're together. And if you ask me today, hey, would you rather go to church and drink a beer with your dad? I'd rather drink a beer with my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 100 times.
Yeah.
And I do regret it, you know, because I didn't get to enjoy my youth, man. Like, I don't know what a club is. I don't know what, you know, going out drinking is. I occasionally drink in my house, you know.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares?
Yeah. We were saying that earlier, like how we kind of missed out on a lot of opportunities because, and I see it with eyes with both sides. Like I see why they did it because they were trying to protect us. But at the same time, it kind of did the opposite, though, because it made us kind of like afraid of just normal human beings.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, I mean, we weren't allowed to go to prom. We were not allowed to go to like any football games. We're not allowed to socialize with anybody that wasn't in the religion. And even then, like, I remember we even brought some friends over to the church and they were like, we I don't want to be here. Like, these people are scary.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, you just don't get it. You know, you just don't love God the way I do. And it messes up with your life in the sense that, like you said, now we didn't get to experience a high school experience in a, like as a normal kid.
You're not getting that back.
Yeah, we're not getting that back at all. We didn't get to date normally because, like, we weren't allowed to date anybody that wasn't in the religion. So, lucky, you know, you actually did meet somebody that you love and, you know, you spend the rest of your life with, but not everybody got that chance. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person now, you know, I'm 33. I'm going to be 34. Like, I'm barely starting to date now because back then, you know, you're not allowed to.
You it's like you had fewer options back then.
Yeah.
You had to stay within the church circle. It's like, you know, what do you do?
Yeah. And then we had church every day. You know, we had service on Sunday.
That was your whole life. That was my whole life. That was your whole life. It was all about church.
Yeah.
We had no social life outside of church, like a normal teenager or like a normal pre-adult, whatever. And that's why I'm like, dude, I tell my wife all the time, and she knows this, man. Like I was telling you, I vent all the time. She's like, I wish I can speak to the manager and get a refund.
Yeah.
You know, get a do over.
Yeah.
Because it's done. You know, I'm now a parent and I didn't get to enjoy those youth years and senior trips or anything like that. We were not allowed to do that. It's not like they didn't force you to do it. It's just the indoctrination that they make you believe.
They kind of made you afraid to disobey.
Yeah.
Like in a way, like to me, especially because my dad grew up being a leader there. I was more like, you know, everybody's watching you. You, Tony, everybody's watching you. All the youth are following you. So if you make a mistake, these youth are going to make a mistake. So I was always like, you know, super careful. But at the end, it was more like I was just afraid of the world. And I was afraid, honestly, all the time. I was like, I'm afraid to, like, get unconverted. Like, I'm afraid that somebody's going to be like, oh, let's talk about the Virgin Mary. I was like, no, I don't want to convert to the Virgin Mary. And then, you know, but at the end of the day, because even now I'm learning about different religions now and I'm taking a little bit out of everybody. Mm-hmm. But that's something that, again, you can't take back. Time is gone.
Yeah.
You can't get that back. And I do regret a lot. Well, not a lot, but I do regret certain situations that I handled differently. Or
and just like you, when you said about when you have a position within the church, I also had a position within the church. You remember I was unofficially the leader of the band whenever people moved out
and
it was just us, you remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we took over, like the youth took over, and kind of I think maybe another brother with us in music, but it was mainly us. So I also felt like, because I used to play piano and I used to sing at the same time, you know, in the ministry, I felt like all the eyes were on me. It was a lot to put on a teenager. It was a lot. I felt like, and I'm going to say this, one time, this was before I left, before I was thinking about
just... How old were you by then?
I was probably like 20.
Okay.
And this was in the last phase of me basically leaving, be like, hey, you know, I'm done, I'm quitting, this is it. I remember a sister, I'm not gonna say her name, she said, Jorge, if you leave, you're gonna take a lot of us with you. And I was like, no, if you leave, you're gonna leave because you leave.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm going through. You know, you don't know how heavy it is to carry all of this on my shoulders, you know, and it just like, sucks.
Do you think she was like peer pressuring you to stay, basically?
Probably, yeah. Or just make me feel guilty if I left.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot to put on a teenager or a pre-adult.
Right.
I was only 20, man, and I was barely trying to, you know, what am I going to do now?
Because, I mean, that's all we knew. We didn't know any other, you know, structures. We didn't know any other, well, at least me. I was more like, oh, what am I going to do now? Because whenever I left, I was way older than you.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't leave as soon as you did. I you know, I stayed for a while, and then I left later. But all my old friendships, like, that I could have had in high school had already moved on.
Yeah.
They were married. They were having kids. And I'm just hearing here, like, oh, I'm back. You know, where did we leave off? And I was like, oh, that was middle school. Like, we're moved on. I was like, oh, so like sometimes I feel, and I think I said this to my brother or somebody, I was like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm 23 now because that's where my brain stopped.
Yes.
And now that I'm 33, I feel like I'm 23 because I feel like I'm barely learning to live life as a normal person, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense to anybody. Like, and I'm beginning to look at people for the way people are. I'm looking at, you know, society as society is supposed to be. I'm not looking in the world with my judgmental eyes. Because one of the things, and you can disagree or agree with me, a lot of religion teaches you to be really judgmental.
Oh, yes.
So I was raised, you know, and I do regret this part. Like, I was really judgmental. Like, even recently, like, oh, you know what? That girl would look prettier on his skirt. I was like, what the fuck did I just say? But that's the old me trained that women are not, you know, we're not allowed to, women, me. Women are not allowed to wear pants. We're not, you know, they're not allowed to wear jewelry, whatever, yeah. whatever. For a long time, I didn't wear shorts because we weren't allowed to wear shorts. Mm-hmm. So it's little things that mark you that I don't think people realize. And again, I said this in another episode, was like, this is really does feel like a cult.
It does,
because they really do manage your life.
It's the indoctrination, the way things go.
Yeah,
it's like, they, even though they're not with you 24/7, you just know that everything they put on you, oh, you just have to follow.
Yeah,
you know. And it does, I mean, it sounds terrible, but it does feel like a cult.
Yeah.
And I don't go to church now, and I have nothing to say there. Like you said, I met great people. You know, a lot of some people did help me. I made friends, but ultimately I moved on.
Yeah. Do you still have friendships that still believe that lifestyle? Like, can you sit in a room with somebody that still believes that way and
I could,
not get angry?
I could, but yeah, it could probably get heated if they bring it up.
Well, because what would they say that would make you angry?
I guess just if they try to judge me, like if I say, hey man, you know, hey, let's go get some beers. Or, hey man, you want to hang out?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's the double. I am gonna get heated. Just because of that, man, I just moved on.
Yeah.
I just moved on, and I'm like you said, I'm finally living the life that I wanted to live.
Yeah.
Back then, and it's just.
How long did it take you to feel comfortable living your life?
The way now?
Yeah. I don't think people realize the amount of trauma this kind of causes for you to be afraid to just be yourself. And, you know, like, again, we weren't allowed to drink, you know, whatever, whatever. So now that you're living your life, did it take you a long time to?
It didn't take too long because I was just angry. I was just angry. I still am sort of that way, mm-hmm. because it didn't take me long. I'm like, fuck you guys. I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not here now. Mm-hmm. They're not here. They weren't there when I went. And when I get into that, I gave so many years, my most important years, I gave to the service of the church. Mm-hmm. I don't regret about giving it to the service of God, but at the same time, you are giving it to men.
To people.
You're servicing man.
Yeah.
So, and I felt like I was just a tool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the very last phase when we went through, like, the church was packed. You mm-hmm. remember?
Yeah, I remember those days.
Like,
yeah.
It was, people started coming from other churches mm-hmm. to our church.
Yeah.
But it was just us. It was just this humble teenagers playing the music.
Yeah.
And the presence of God was strong, and God was doing great things. And I guess the word got out, and a lot of people started coming over. And for me, that was the point when everything fell apart. And I'm not going to say any names because it is what it is.
Yeah.
I am what I am now. But that, for me, that was the breaking point when I just started to feel like, okay, this is it. This is not going to work out. Because... Mm-hmm. Even though it sounds terrible, and I don't care, I feel like a lot of those people had an agenda towards our little church.
Yeah.
So I remember one time, the service was great. I mean, God was doing a lot of great things. And I remember pastor was like, hey, can you stay playing the piano while I keep preaching? That was new to us. That wasn't even a thing, remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I got up. I was standing up the whole time. But I left the piano to go get me a chair because I was standing up for a couple hours. The services there back then were long, dude.
4.5 hours long.
And I remember getting up. And this is one of the things that's where it started to... If you the person, I'm not going to say the name, but I'm pretty sure they might not remember, but I do. I remember getting up and getting go get a chair, and I was going down the alley, you know, the chair, the whatever. And I was going in the middle, and this brother comes to me, and he's like, "Oh, you think you're all that?"
What?
Yeah.
He told you. He asked you if you thought you were all that.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And I'm 18, 19. I was. You're talking about a grown ass man.
Yeah.
Telling that to basically a kid. And my response was, God gives grace to humble people.
Yeah.
And that's all I said. And I walked out, go get my chair. But that stood with me. That marked me. He was a person that came from a different church. He that wasn't a person from our
family. Oh, I see what you're saying. So somebody you didn't know who they were.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I knew who he was, but I didn't know him personally.
Right.
So whenever he said that, I was like, dude, that stood with me.
Yeah.
And even after so many years, and I told pastors, hey, this person said that. And he's like, who was it? I'm not going to tell you.
So you never told him?
I never told him. So since then, different people started coming over with different ideas, different agendas. And I just...
That's kind of when we kind of disbanded as friends. And follow me where I'm saying this.
Yeah.
Because you left, but I stayed behind.
Yes.
So I was stuck in the dilemma where, like, well, what am I going to do now? Because all the new people came over to the, you know, to the new church, whatever. And I remember feeling so small. I remember feeling so small because a lot of musicians came from over there. And
good musicians.
Yeah, they were really good musicians. And I respect all of them. Mm-hmm. I do. And I got to play with most of them. But I felt so small. And then you were gone. And I was like... And the rest of our original band were gone. So I was the only one left.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Because I really wanted to just stop. And I remember I did stop playing for like a good month or so, maybe 2 months. But eventually they were like, we do need you to, you know, continue playing the drums. I'm like, I don't think I can play with y'all. Like, first of all, when you grow up, again, in a religious, you know, stature, musicians are competitive.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to end up fighting somebody. Like, I remember, like, the egos were so high. Yes. I was like, oh, no, that's not going to be a good idea for me. Especially because I've heard stuff about y'all, and I'm sure you heard stuff about me. Let's just not cross that path. But we didn't have a choice. I had to stay. So I was like, okay. So I played for like maybe another month, and then I'm like, okay, I can't do this. Their style is so different, mm-hmm. which wasn't a bad thing, but it kind of caused me and you as friends to kind of split apart mm-hmm. because ever since then, we did the same thing together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you had to leave and I stayed behind, our schedules changed. Yep. I continued to stay there and you did not. Mm-hmm. And then you eventually got married, you know, and then I went to your wedding. And then, I don't know if you remember, another friend of ours was getting married that same day. And I was like, what am I going to do? Because it was another friend that was part of the original band.
Yes, I remember.
So I was like, oh my God. Like, I remember I was so stressed out. And then I remember I was like, after I left like a month, I played continuously for like a month or two. And then I completely stopped again. And they were like, well, we need you to come back. I'm like, I'm not doing it. But because my dad was still there, I'm like, I guess I'm just going to stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sat there. And then I was like, well, let me try singing this time. Because I was like, you know, singing, I love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great at it, but like, I'm enough to where I can keep it out. You know, let me try out.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if you want to be part of the band, you have to try out. So you have to do an audition. I'm like, to who? Like, to me. I'm like,
excuse me.
Well, I've done auditions at school. You know, I've done auditions. So I was like, okay. I was just really... okay, I did the audition with somebody else, another girl. And honestly, we sounded pretty good. And the guy was like, you know, can I be honest with you? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you don't sing that great.
Brett.
He's like, you don't sing that great. And I would love to just have you as a drummer. So he kind of gave me like a backhand compliment. He was like, I don't like your singing, but I love your drumming.
Yeah,
so
he was just trying to get a drummer.
Right. So I was like, so I became a drummer.
Yeah.
And then I just got stuck. And I was there for a good 5 more years after that, maybe.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
But egos were high, man. Egos were like, I've never cursed somebody in church. That day, there was one day we were having practice. He was like, no, stop playing. You're playing really bad. I was like, fuck you. Like, I'm playing the best I can. Like, first of all, playing on those drum sets, it's hot as hell back there.
I remember you one time hitting somebody with the sticks.
Yeah.
I think it slipped, and people were like.
Do you remember who it was?
No. I wasn't bust out laughing because I was in the piano. And I just saw the stick flying across, so I didn't know who. I was just like,
dude. I hit the pastor's wife.
No way.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But she was praying, so she couldn't. I mean, obviously, it was a drumstick, so she knew it came from the drummer, but I was like,
God just hit me with something.
I was feeling so bad for her. But I guess she was praying really hardcore. I guess she didn't even feel it.
I guess.
Yeah, but no.
I kind of felt bad for you staying behind because you were the OG that stayed behind.
Yeah,
we all left.
Yeah,
everybody left.
Yeah, I don't want to say I regret it because I did learn a lot from them. They were great musicians. Mm-hmm. However, that's when I became a leader of the district. So I went through way different things then.
Yeah.
When you're just in a local church, you know, you go through minimal things. You get angry at the pastor or whatever. He says something to you. Then we apologize. We hug it out. We full house it. You know, we cry, hug, and move on.
Yeah.
But in the district, that was a different thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just saw so many things that I shouldn't have and, you know, heard things that I shouldn't have. And that's when my journey that you took earlier, that's when mine started about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me.
So mine was like 5 years delayed. Yeah.
No, for me, it was a lot of work because I was everywhere with the pastor. I was, they had a new church in Enid, so we would go help. You, I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
We would go often, and it was hard because we were always there, man. I was always supporting them. I was always on top, at least on the music,
mm-hmm.
trying to help. And then when this started to happen to me, I was just like, because here's the thing. And mm-hmm. and it kind of sucks for my wife because at the same time, whenever I was thinking about stepping out and kind of like leave, I was just not thinking about leaving the ministry. I was sort of thinking about just living as a whole. Mm-hmm. I was just done.
Yeah.
I started dating my wife and a few people blamed her for me leaving.
Really?
Yes. This lady actually told her. That I guess she was trying to disencourage my wife saying bad things about me. Oh, he's a player, you know, he's just playing with you, you know, he's had a several girlfriends here.
And, oh, yeah, I remember that now.
And she, you know, she's gonna do the same thing with you, and he's not worth it. And then, like, I stuck around and I was like, this is she's gonna be my wife,
yeah.
And it didn't work out, so she's changed her tactic, and now she's starting to blame her. So saying that, oh, because of you, that because he's dating you, he's leaving.
Which is so ridiculous, because if they would know who your wife is, she's like the most humbling person ever.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, are we really going to blame it on her? Like, really? Like, no. If anything else, she probably helped him, you know, as a person.
Yeah, so I moved on, man. And like I said, it helped. It really affected me with my dad because, like, we had a really bad relationship.
Yeah.
Because of religion, because I was very religious.
Explain to them how you were religious to them.
Well, I was like, they just the way I make them feel, like, they were like, they felt like they, I made them feel like I was holy and they weren't.
You never felt remorse about that?
Oh, I do all the time.
No, but like back then?
Back then I didn't because I was indoctrinated. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, and it was pretty bad. Like I had almost zero communication with my dad.
How long did that take?
After me leaving the church, probably a couple more years, probably after my oldest was born was when we kind of straightened things up. And I,
do you think you becoming a father had something to do with that? Like, oh, you kind of saw things differently?
Yes, because, I put myself in his shoes, like, hey, you know, I have no, because here's the thing. I used to judge my dad a lot because he drank, because he maybe did a drug here and there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, my dad's bad. You know, I need to not get close to him because I want to go to heaven. And he's not going to heaven. And, you know, I was prejudging them so bad. And he was right, man. I was an asshole.
Yeah.
He was right. I mean, whenever we talk about it now, I'm like, I said sorry so many times.
When was that? When was that breaking point?
Whenever I went to my depression, 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago, almost, I went through a really, really deep depression that I almost had like suicidal thoughts.
Really?
My wife was pregnant with my second son. So yeah, it's been a few years.
Yeah.
That's when it hit me, because I was driving, like I would go to work on my van, and I was just like, I'm just going to go crash in the freaking post. I'm done.
Yeah.
So I went through that phase for like 2 weeks. So that was my breaking point. I was like, I asked myself, where are all those people now? You gave all this time, your efforts, your time, your talent,
mm-hmm.
To people, you know, to the church, and you're about to kill yourself. Are they here now to help you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I told myself. And I said, no, they're not here for me to stop me from crashing, you know, off a freaking bridge or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that was the point when I was like, fuck everybody. I'm just going to go say sorry to my dad. So I remember on my oldest third birthday, he came over and like, it's like, you know that you're cool now, but you don't openly say it. Like, oh yeah, we're cool now. Hey dad, I love you.
Yeah,
you know, we're tight now, but you haven't officially said it,
mm-hmm.
that, hey dad, I'm sorry. So I remember, it was just a mutual party. It was just us. We got my son a piñata, and we made, you know, some cake and whatever. It was just us. And that was, by the way, that was like COVID, so we didn't invite anybody. So it was just us.
Yeah.
And I remember we fired up the fire pit, and my dad brought some beers, and we were talking, and the subject came up. And just like I'm telling you, I said, hey, dad, you know, I just want to say that I'm sorry because I'm an asshole. I was an asshole to you. And I wish I could take all the time back. My best years, I should have been there with you. The other day I went to my mom's and they have a photo album. And I'm in none of those pictures.
Yeah.
And that really hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, because they're all drinking or whatever, and I'm not there, you know, and it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish I could take that back. So not like right now we're cool. So.
And what did he say to you whenever you said that?
Yeah.
What was his response?
Oh, well, he's cool. He's like, no, don't worry about it. You know, it's all good, but I know it also hurt him bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's why I'm like really angry towards indoctrination, because I should have been there, man. I should have been there with my dad when they went to Florida. I should have went. But why did I stay behind? I don't know, because I chose.
Did you stay behind because of that, do you think?
Because of religion?
The church, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So
I didn't know that.
Mostly because I thought I was doing the right thing by choosing God over going with my parents.
Right.
And that was my breaking point. I was like, you know what, Dad? I'm done. I have nothing against religion directly, but it sounds terrible, but I'm like a wounded freaking animal that has been abused. Like it's if you get a dog that's been abused, it's gonna try to bite you, man.
Yeah.
It's gonna take time for you to gain the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. Like if somebody came up to me and said, hey man, you're a sinner, I was like, fuck you, man. You weren't there when I was about to kill myself.
Yeah.
You don't know that I've been through hell and back.
Yeah.
And I'm still here breathing, raising mm-hmm. my kids.
Yeah. I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, you do you. If you want to go to church, just make sure that you analyze yourself and you make sure you treat people right. Because that was one of my main problems as well, that people were just uptight. They categorize people.
Yeah.
They put you in a different just, and also if you have a status in church or anywhere and that makes you feel more than somebody else, dude, you need to stop.
And I will follow up on that one, because I was telling this, I don't know who I was telling this to. It was like a week ago or two. Because they were like, Tony, what? How did you feel so bad when you were in the church? Because you were a great leader. You had a lot of people follow you. I'm like, yeah, but that's something that was taught. It's something that they teach you to be popular in a way. Like, I am a person that I was always depressed. I was always like, you know, I was always like what's the word? Like, I was putting my feelings in a bottle. Like, I was just saving everything, yeah. And what made the bottle pop was anger. And that's dangerous, because at that point, I was in the same spot you were. I was like, okay, all right. And I was angry at everybody. And I felt bad. I remember one time I went to Planet Fitness. And this sister, you know, Dermana, this lady that used to go to the church, she was like, oh, my God, you're here working out. How are you? Good. And this was like maybe like 2 years after I left the church. She was like, oh, I'm so glad to see you, you know, da, da, da. And she did look at me up and down, but that's something that I'm used to. I'm like, okay, whatever. She was like, so when are we going to expect you back in the church? And I don't know why, when she said that, I snapped. And I was like, I'll probably go back when y'all stop stealing money. I'll probably go back when, da, da, da. She's like, oh, huh? And I was like, in my mind, I was like, I'm sorry, that wasn't for you, but you right now represent them. And that's what happens. I think a lot of people, especially because there's more people than just me and you that went through this. Maybe not in the same scenario, maybe not the same circumstance, but a good 80% of the people that we were there at our age are gone. And it is mostly because there's been pain. There's been things that have been hidden. And words hurt so much. And I think that was the key for the religion people. They used words a lot to hurt people. I cannot tell you how many times I've been hurt by people saying the dumbest shit. Like, honestly, just the dumbest, simplest thing. But now that I'm older, I got to the point where I'm like, okay. Because now I'm struggling between who I believe God is and who I believe God was, who they taught me to believe who he was. Yeah. So now it's like, I am stuck in the middle. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should go to a different church, because I haven't been in a church environment in such a long time that, I mean, I went to my dad's church, obviously, for a while, but that's not the same thing. I mean, nobody that's going to say nothing to you, you know, it's my dad. But prior to that, I mean, people have the audacity to kind of just go to you, and because they think they know you, you were on the spotlight, they think they can say whatever they want to you. Recently, and I don't want to say it, but I think I'm just gonna say it, like I visited another church recently. This is like a couple months ago, and it was good. The preaching was really good, but then at the end I saw somebody that I have not seen in a long time. They're like, hey, what are you doing here? And I keep forgetting that people have you in a certain mindset. Like, yeah, they still see you how they see you in 2012.
Yes.
So I was like, hey, I'm sorry. How are you? You know, he gave me a hug and he pulled my beard. I don't know if right now I have a beard, but back then it was a little longer. Mm-hmm. He grabbed it. He pulled it. I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? Like, this isn't appealing to God. And then I was like, now I remember why I don't
Yes.
But they felt like they had the permission to come up and like, first of all, bro, it's COVID time.
Yeah.
Don't put your hands on my face. Number two, like, did you just touch me? Like, you know, but it's part of their culture that they are so comfortable in their own mindset that they think that some of these things are okay.
And so people also see me that way. Like you say, like, they really just remember me as the piano guy that used to sing. And yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
There's nothing of that in me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm a totally different person. And you better not open your mouth because I'm going to punch you.
Yeah.
You know, I'll fight you in the freaking street.
Right.
So, and going into that same subject, how people, they even use the Bible to judge you.
Yeah.
I had a friend we worked together. I lost contact with him completely. Mm-hmm. We lived together for a little bit at a trailer home.
Mm-hmm.
But he fell apart terribly. And I'll tell you why. We used to work together in the same company, mm-hmm. but he found a better opportunity somewhere else, okay. like a warehouse somewhere. We're both finishers. Mm-hmm. We finish cabinets.
Yeah.
And he found a place where he don't have to go to new houses. He would go to like a shop and finish cabinets there. In that place was some brothers. He never told me who they were.
Like church people, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
And you remember how they always teach you, oh, you can't have sex before marriage because you're going to hell.
Right.
They always tell you that. Like your youth years are all about that. Mm. You cannot touch yourself. You cannot have sex before marriage.
Right, right.
So my friend, he did it. Uh-huh. He happened to fornicate.
Yeah.
And he felt bad. I mean, he was like us. He was like, man, you know, I committed a sin. I need to go to God. And he just happened to tell those people from work. I guess he was looking for guidance, I guess.
Yeah.
And this brother with the Bible told him that he did not have forgiveness. He was going to hell.
What verse did he used to say that?
I don't know. He told him with the Bible that you're done, you're going to hell, just get over it. And I noticed in my friend since there that he just declined. Like he got into drugs. He wanted nothing with God anymore because that person told him that.
Mm-hmm.
He believed it. Up to this point, I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's alive or he's dead. And that also got me so angry, you know, how this person used the Bible, something that's supposed to be used for salvation, to condemn somebody for a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and growing up, a youth, I mean, it's like they're obsessed with that subject. They're like, you cannot have sex. It's like they tell you that every day.
Yeah.
Dude, we're 17. We horny.
Yeah.
You know.
We were.
And I tell myself today, I'm like, dude, you say that because you were married.
He was probably mad because he wasn't getting any either.
Probably, man. I was like, dude, our hormones are like all over the place. Yeah.
I remember receiving advice from one person. And because another thing about the, you know, I'm not going to say Christian people, but that religion people, they tend to give you advice when you don't ask for it.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay. I remember one time, I don't know if you went to this. We had a morning sunrise service when it was just a youth. Yeah. We would go to the service at 5 a.m. Were you there?
I went to a few.
Okay. There was one time we were just there and the leader was like, okay, boys over there with me and the girls over there with my wife. Let's talk. I'm like, okay. And not a lot of us went. So there was only like 5 of us. So I don't remember if we were there or not. But he was like, so, Tony, have you lost your virginity? And I was like, beg pardon? Like, no. Even though I had, I was like, no, because, you know, that's a sin. And like, first of all, it's 5 a.m. Who wants to talk about my erections at 5 a.m?
Right.
And this guy was older. He was like 60, 70. So I was like, I don't want to talk to you about my boners. That's weird.
Yeah.
And then we were in the temple. So I was like, no, I'm a virgin still. I'm like, okay. How do you fight those demons? So I was like, there's this thing called porn. No, that's not what I said. But I was like, I pray hard every day. And like at that point, when you're that age, that's all you think about. Like, because when you don't, when your body doesn't release, it messes up with your head. Like your body, I mean, I don't know if you ever had boners that hurt because they were just built. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I'm going to put a disclaimer at the beginning. This is not for everybody. But I mean, we were taught not to ever touch ourselves.
Yeah.
So our bodies would be like, what the hell? Like, we need to release. Like, do something about this. So I would have a lot of, you know, like, wet dreams. Well, yeah. And because that's just how our body did it. And I remember waking up like, oh, no. Like, I remember, this is funny now. But I remember one time I woke up and I, you know, after having like a sex dream. And I woke up and I was like, oh, my God. I'm so nasty. Like, I sinned in my sleep.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm such a sinner. And I remember I went to this guy. This is where the advice came from that I actually asked for. I'm like, hey, I feel really bad because, like, my body sinned without my permission. And he tried not to laugh because he was like, okay, what do you mean? I was like, I woke up and I was like, brother, I'm so embarrassed. Like, don't look at me, you know? Like, and he was like, what happened? I'm not understanding you. I was like, I woke up and I was wet, you know? I had a dream. He was like, okay, so what's wrong with that? I'm like, I'm going to hell. Like, I'm going to go to hell. He's like, no, you're not going to go to hell. I'm like, really? He's like, no. And this is a man that I admired for, like, the longest time. So the fact that it came from him, I was like, glory to God.
Yeah.
Because he was like, why don't you try masturbating? And I was like,
we're allowed to do that?
That's what I said. I was like, you're trying to tell me I'm allowed to touch myself? He's like, you're allowed to release. He's like, but... don't, what did he say? It was something like along the lines where, like, don't get addicted to it where it becomes a nasty habit. But if your body requires it, just do it, you know? And I was like, let me tell you, that day, that's my stomach. I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I'm hungry. That day, like, I was liberated from that because, I mean, I was like,
yes.
I don't know how old I was. I was like 16, 17, probably. And mind you, like I said, I've already lost my virginity by that point, which is probably something you didn't even know.
No. We were tight. But it's cool. We had limits.
We had
limits.
And I was like, okay. Because once you lose your virginity, it's hard. Your body reacts differently. So I was like, okay. But when he gave me that advice, I was like, why can't everybody give that advice?
Yeah.
Jump forward to when I became a youth leader. Some of the youth would ask me, like, hey, Brother Tony, what do you think about this? You know, like, it's hard, you know, like, to not this. I'm like, look, I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. What I am going to tell you is that your body is going to react to certain things. Mm-hmm. And that's the way your body is supposed to react. So don't feel bad if all of a sudden you wake up and they're like, oh, hi, it's just waving at you. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
Now, like, I'm not telling you to do this or to release that way, but what I am telling you to do is that you're human and your body's going to go through changes. And sometimes you have to do certain things to avoid from you making bigger mistakes.
Plus, you want clean underwear in the morning.
Right. My tidy whities weren't white after a while. I'll just say it like that. Dang, this is such an adult conversation. And, that to me, I remember I got in trouble for giving that advice to that person. And I was like, look, what you want me to tell them? Because I don't want these kids to suffer the way we suffered. I mean, a lot of us, and I think I said this on another episode, a lot of us got married younger because we needed to release. And that's what they taught us. Like, hey, if you want to release, you need to get married because if you touch each other, you're going to hell.
I am glad that I found the right woman. Thank you, Jesus. And yes. I just got married young, you know. It's a lot of things, dude.
Yeah. How old were you when you got married?
I think I was like 23, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was young, dude.
Yeah. But I mean, even then you got lucky that you married somebody that you loved and not somebody that you just rushed because you were trying to like not go to hell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, just things like that change and mark, and I don't know if people realize how one piece of wrong advice can change your life like forever. So like, I don't know. So after you did that, go back to your dad. After you did that,
well, we're tight now. Like I'm having the best relationship that I've ever had in so many years. We're good, man. I'm enjoying it. The way he treats my kids, at the same time, I feel like he's also trying to like cope with all that lost time with me. And he, like, my oldest looks just like me.
He does.
I can see in his face that he's trying to, I guess, take some of that back with him.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're having the best relationship, and I feel like it took me to get away from being a religious person and just kind of be a normal human being.
This is full of brown people.
Yeah, and you know, it's great, man. I'm living my life the way I want, within reason. You know, I'm not out there, you know, partying, let's get lit, you know. But it's great to not be trapped in that loop anymore. I'm not saying that I'm not ever gonna go back. Eventually, I do want to go back.
Yeah,
but it'll take time for me to even find the courage to give in to men. You know, I don't think that's ever going to happen anymore.
And the thing is, and if I can give you this, you know, just be very careful where you decide to give your heart to, because yeah, there's a lot of nasty religious people, but there's some that are not. And I think that's the problem that I'm having now. It's like, I'm having a hard time trusting just anybody. Yep. So, yeah, I might find a really, really good church, but it takes one bad person to be like, I can't be here. Because when you try to heal and you try to move on and you know, put love on those patches that are hurting now, because they're scars that you're always going to remember. So every time you go to a temple, every time you go to a church, those scars kind of start hurting a little bit. It's like, oh, shit, okay. Oh, okay. And then you forget, like, oh. And then, like I said, it goes back to me. Like, I'm having trouble finding out who God is to me.
Yeah.
Because apparently it's not who they taught me to. You know, I don't know if you were there at that Sunday school class when they were like, hey, whenever you pray to God, you should never, ever ask him for anything. You should always just praise him. So I grew up praying, like, not talking to God. I was always like, you're worthy. Amen. Okay, and then I fall asleep.
You know, the best conversations that I've had with God have been in my car, by myself, at the park, talking to him with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not. I'm not saying don't go to church. You do what you think it's best for you and your family.
Yeah.
Truthfully, for me, it's been when I'm going through something hard for me, and my wife knows this. I'm like, hey, I'm going for a ride. She's like, okay. And sometimes she doesn't even know. Like, she sends me to go get something, and I just kind of like get lost and go to a park, and I talk to God, and that's when I feel it the most, because I'm not holding back anything, any words. I'm not talking pretty words. I'm being truthful to God. Hey, I'm struggling with this. You know this, but I feel like you need to know it from me.
Do you think they taught us to have a different face, like? Not only to the world, but to God, because we were supposed to be perfect. We were supposed
It's like you. I felt like at a certain point we were just talking. We were just saying pretty words to God, words that sounded pretty because there's somebody next to you listening, probably.
Yeah.
And you can't be honest with God, saying, "Hey, I'm going through this. I need you to help me with this."
Yeah.
And you just talking pretty well. You get used to it. It's a method. You just do it. And you're not like you said, you're not really talking to him. You're just talking.
Yeah. It becomes traditional. It becomes, you know, very robotic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's I'm in that point in my life where I'm just like, no, man, I don't have the time nor the energy to deal with anybody. I'm living my bestest life right now.
Yeah.
You know, I have a wife that loves me, and I have three children that are great, and I have a business that it's treating me well. And I just don't have the time to deal with people.
Yeah.
If I want to drink a beer tomorrow, I'll drink a beer tomorrow, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and my wife can drink a beer with me. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody, like I say, you ain't paying my bills.
Right, right.
You know.
For real.
So, I it's just being truthful to yourself, man. Like I said, maybe truthful to you is being in church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But to me, when I went through that, it was just a breaking point. I was like, dude, this is not truthful. I mean, your dad probably hates you because you, and with reason, he's right.
Yeah.
You were an asshole to him this, all these years, and he has the right to feel that way.
Did you ever get into arguments with your siblings? Because you have siblings.
With my sister sometimes, but it wasn't like about, you know, religion, like, because she also went to church for a little. She doesn't go anymore.
Oh, okay.
She went for a little bit, but it never got heated. It was just, you know, we're cool.
Yeah. Okay.
But with my siblings, not really. We've always been very like, it's weird because we're like, we talk to each other, but we like, we don't get into our personal lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay.
We have a band.
I feel like your brother's inner bubble is like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. He doesn't.
I know. Ever since I know him, he's like, like, right. I go to your house and he's like, hey, what's up? He's like, okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which so, is okay.
Yeah, it's great, man. I'm enjoying it. This is who I want to be and who I choose to be, and it doesn't bother anybody else. So it ain't bothering people.
Do you see God different?
Oh no. I feel like it's been better now because I'm being truthful.
Yeah.
You know, and he's always been there for me when I needed him the most.
Mm-hmm.
Answering the prayer about giving us children. I mean, we talked about this in season one, you know.
Yeah.
We couldn't have children for, I think it was, dude, I don't even, I'm gonna get yelled at for this.
I remember you said it.
Seven and a half mm-hmm. years. It was tough. So in God,
I yelled for this, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because she's like, well, you should know this, you know better. Because it was a process, dude. Yeah. God's been truthful and he's been always loyal, and I feel like I'm the ones that I'm supposed to be truthful to myself. And what am I going to do if I'm just going to sit there, you know, putting on a tie and, you know, a suit and just pretend to be something I'm not?
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather be me. And if the time comes, God's going to do what he was going to do. And, you know, he's going to call me again, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm just right now in this point in time, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Taking your time.
Yeah.
That's good. That's smart. Yeah. I think back then we ran instead of walked because we thought the world's at our hands, you know. And that's one of the things that I hate. Hate's a strong word. I really strongly dislike about church leaders, that because they do feel like God is on their side, it gives them the authority to be assholes, or it gives them the authority to say stupid things to people. And like, it's just so hurtful. And, you know, I've started this journey, you know, with this podcast and whatever, and I've came across a lot of people that are very similar, and you kind of don't see it until you start talking to them. Oh, well, what happened to you? Oh, well, this happened to me. Oh, this happened to me. And I've been hearing some crazy stories, and I was like, okay, mine wasn't as bad as I thought. It was still pretty bad,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's a learning process.
And it was also, like, for me, also, it was just about the superficial financial subject that it's being played in vaccines.
Yeah.
To me. And I'm just gonna say this real quick. We went to a church. It wasn't a church related to the religion we went to.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different church. Like I said, I'm a contractor. You know, I own a paint. I'm not promoting.
Yeah.
I own a paint business.
You can promote. Go ahead.
So I remember me and my wife, she's a, like I said, she's also a great painter. Like she can paint this room like today.
Yeah.
So I remember going to this church and we were still praying to God for him to give us children.
Okay.
And I remember the church looked pretty bad, man. I was like, I told the pastor, I said, hey man, if you want, I can paint the church for you. He's like, hey, really? I'm like, yeah, we can paint it for you, man. They didn't give me any money for materials. I had to pitch in for my pocket to get it painted. But this is what bothered me, because after we painted the church, you know how I feel about giving 10%. I'm like, I don't believe in that's the devil. I'm
just right.
But that's my opinion. I feel like I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Some people do, and it's great. So I'm not going to judge, but that's me. And we finished painting the church. And one time, that was like a month after, he called me and somebody else from, because I was also playing the guitar there.
Oh, okay.
So I was in the sort of the ministries. That's when I was trying to go back.
Okay.
And he called me to the office, and he's like, "Guys, I gotta talk to you."
Oh, like, you and your wife?
No, to another member, another musician.
Sorry.
And then he's like, "Oh, I gotta talk to you guys." I was like, "Okay, what's going on?" He's like, "I need you guys to start giving the 10%. It's necessary." Mm-hmm. But the thing that bothered me the most about that whole conversation was that he said, "I don't care what you do in church. I don't care what you do here. I still need you to give me the 10%. And I'm like, "Brett, I just painted this church like a month ago."
Yeah.
So he specifically brought it up. And I was like, I told my wife, I said, "If he wants to talk numbers, you owe me $7,000, dude." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
"You owe me $7,000 for painting this commercial building."
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I say, "Okay, that's fine." I just walked out and left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like all of those things that kind of bother me. I'm like,
there was one time, and I don't know if you were there, and if you were, or correct me, and if you weren't, you know, remind me. But there was a point where, because I don't believe in that either. I don't. I believe that if I feel like giving the money to the church, then I will.
Yes.
But the type of church that we came from, they were traditionally known for enforcing it if you were working in the church. So I remember I was a drummer at this point, and I remember they made us sign a contract. Were you there?
I don't remember.
We had to sign a contract saying that we were going to, one, agree to go to their practices, be responsible, and two, agree that we were going to pay the 15% or 10%.
Yeah, I remember now, yeah.
You were there?
Yeah, you have to be tucked in. Your shirt tucked in.
Yes.
Wear a tie. Be on time.
Yeah, which on some parts I get it. You know, we got to look presentable. But I was like, I remember I didn't want to sign it. I was like, "I'm not going to sign this." "Well, you need to sign it, because if you want to keep playing, we need you to agree to all these terms." I'm like, "I'm giving you my free time. Like Sundays, Wednesdays. And that's if y'all don't have a revival, because those were long as hell." And then prayers, you know, and then women's services that we had to go play, and then men's services we had to go play, and then the veladas. I'm like, "Oh my God."
And then New Year's. And
right. So it's like, and then on top of that, we still had to practice. So I wasn't angry at the things that I was giving to the church, because I enjoyed it. But I was like, you're not going to make me pay 10%, because now it makes it forceful. And I feel like now God's going to be like, "I don't want your money."
Yeah.
Like, you're not giving it with, you know, the right intention. But yeah, I remember they made us sign that document, and I was like,
you know, I know it's in the Bible, and it's there, but I don't think God's going to force you, or else, you know.
But okay, let's say it is in the Bible or not, whatever. That's still something that I feel like they used as a, okay, this is what we need from you.
Yeah.
I didn't take it like, "Hey, you know, why don't you give God what he deserves from you?" I take it more like, "Hey, we need you to pay. You know, we need you to pay your quotas." And when I became a leader later in the district, I saw way more of that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, "How are you going to make me sign a contract to pay?" Like, to me, that's kind of when my mind was like, really? Okay. Because it wasn't like a private meeting. There was like 10 of us there. I remember it was like the musicians. It was like some of the ushers or whatever. And we all had to sign it. And I was like, and I remember my dad wasn't there, but I got home and I was like, "Did you know they made us sign the form?" And he was like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Do you not know about this?" He's like, "No." He's like, "Let me see it." And then I'm like, "I already signed it. I already gave it up." And then when he brought it up to the leaders at that point, they denied it. Like, "We didn't make him sign anything. You know, that's ridiculous." I'm like, "You're going to call me a liar?"
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that was part of the shenanigans.
Because we, like you said, we gave a lot of time.
Yeah.
A lot.
And again, I don't regret it, because I learned to become a good musician. You know, I enjoyed my time that I played with you, with the other musicians, with friends, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't regret that, but it does feel like you're more of a meal ticket sometimes, because they just squeezed every ounce of juice out of you. Like, we're just going to take advantage of you and use you as the best way we can, mm-hmm. by giving you compliments. "Oh my God, you're like, you know, da, da, da." And this is not going back to Brother Cuckoo. I don't think that's why he gave me the compliment, but the leaders would. I mean, I remember they were like, "Oh my God, you guys are like the best musicians," and da, 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 da. I don't know if we were or not, but They basically just fed us to get fatter that way.
Dude, we were so inexperienced, you know, if you want to call it, because we didn't have a teacher.
We didn't, yeah.
We didn't have professional.
We taught ourselves.
We didn't have professional training.
Yeah.
And God was doing great things. Remember? I mean, it was almost a revival every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
God was doing great things. And that part of my life, I do want to enjoy, and I want to keep it that way, where it was good times. You mm-hmm. know, God was doing great things through us. It was all Him,
mm-hmm.
but God used these humble teenagers that didn't know anything about music, and yeah. they eventually got better, and people liked it. You go, well, I remember when I used to play and sing at the same time. I used to basically be a minister in the music.
Mm-hmm.
Some musicians, like, they have an agenda. Like, they have notes of how the service is gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, right now we're gonna play this song, and then this and this and this and that, and then at this point we're gonna sing slow songs or whatever.
Song, yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes from there. I never did that. I remember Javier, he used to play in the overhead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He used to get mad at me all the time. He's like, Jorge, give me notes. What are you going to play? I said, bro, I can't do that because I just play what God tells me to play.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, like, being up there, it was more about doing what God wanted me to do. Like, I remember a lot of the times, even I felt this way, whenever, if you're sad, if you're like, if you just feel like crying, like if you did something bad or you went some horrible week,
yeah,
you don't want to jump, you don't want to clap your hands, you don't want to praise God, you just want to cry.
Yeah.
And when you're out there, you see everything, you see everybody. And it took one person that I saw that was down for me to just shut the service and start playing
some different
type, yeah. Yeah, so he could come up, and it was all for me. It was all about him.
Yeah.
If I saw anybody else clapping and having a good time, okay, you know, it's not about you. It's about him. He needs to help. He mm-hmm. needs to talk to God. And then after God, because like I said, we watch everything. And then when I saw that the minister prayed for that person, and then God, you know, did His thing. Then
we were a good team.
Then God, yeah. Then I knew that He was going to feel, I guess, worthy of praising God. Then,
mm-hmm.
so you learn all of this. You don't get to tell how the service goes.
Yeah,
at least that's not what I believed.
Mm-hmm.
That I felt like God was going to do what He wanted.
Right.
So when I started seeing like people with notes, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to play, that's fine. But what does God want?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I guess that's why we got popularity, because we were just playing for whatever God wanted us to do.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it was an enjoyable journey, but at the same time, I was just done.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bittersweet, because I mean, yeah, there's times, like I said, that I do miss playing and, you know, enjoying those moments that, because we bonded, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember when we would have music practices, which I'm going to bring it up.
Remember? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly where I'm going.
Go ahead.
I mean, we got into so many good moments. I mean, despite even the bad ones. I mean, you know, I remember we got into several fights a couple of times. Like, no, you suck. No, you suck. And then people be punching walls and stuff.
And then, what happened to the wall? I don't know.
Somebody get a calendar to cover that hole in the wall, please. And the calendar was there for a long time. Nobody ever knew we punched that wall. But, I mean, we bonded. And yeah, I feel like time now has taken us to different paths, you know. And me and you and probably the rest of the band members, because I don't talk to any of them now,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of sad, but I get it. You know, my life turned out different than they wanted or that they expected. And to them, it's disrespectful. I get it, you know, whatever. But at this point, it's like, okay, but you know what? I've never felt this happier before.
Yeah.
I've never felt peace. There are times where I'm like, oh my God, I do get that fear of like, well, what's going to happen to my life? You know, who is going to be God to me now? You know, am I going to need to meet a new God? Do I even believe in God? Do I not believe in God? It's finding those answers. But it doesn't erase the good things that happen, you know. Unfortunately, like, the bad things overlap,
yes,
you know. So I think we should work on that. And everybody that's listening to this that's relating to anything we've had said, you know, in the past, whatever long it's been, you know, just find that place of healing, you know, find that place of becoming the better you that you were supposed to be.
Yes.
Because you're not, I don't think we were called to come on this earth to be judgmental, to be, you know, criticizing one another. And in reality, we should be there for one another and, you know, and help each other and just help each other heal.
Yes.
In any way we can. And, you know, can people reach out to you if they wanted to?
Yeah, man, I'm always there. I'm a pretty humble person. I if you talk to me, I'll talk to you. We'll have a conversation. I never turn anybody down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that type of person that if I don't have the time now, we'll find a time later. But it's like you say, you just gotta be the, for me, the most thing is just being humble.
Yeah.
I don't care how important you think you are. You always have to be. You have to make a person feel better, you know. Don't try to be pretend that you're important.
Right.
You always have to maintain that humbleness because that's what's going to make a difference. If you think your knowledge of Bible is going to save people, no, it's going to be your humbleness, how you make them feel.
Yeah.
And that's going to bring them to the first step.
Yeah.
But if you think that, you know, like if you think you're all that, dude, maybe you look in the mirror.
Yeah, you're probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. Like I said, right now I don't know what the future is gonna do, but I'm just gonna live one day at a time.
Yeah.
Enjoy my life, enjoy my kids, and if somebody says, "Hey, you wanna come over and play some," yeah, let's play some songs, man.
Yeah. We still gotta do that, by the way.
Yeah.
I know.
Let's play La Vaca Lola.
Dun, dun. We should play that the theme song from
King of the Hill.
Yes, King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna send you this video today. I'll send it to you later when we're done recording. But it was the song from Jack Black. The party.
I am singing. Dude,
that's because it's the video from this girl. I need to show it to you. And I was like, oh my God, it's so hilarious. And then I was going to send it to you and I didn't have any signal. She did a couple of them. She's hilarious. But yeah, let's learn and live, man. And I have questions for you. Do you mind?
Go ahead, man.
I'm about to make you cry. I'm just playing. This is season 3.
Okay.
I don't know. Did I ask you questions in season 1?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, these are different.
Okay.
Based on today's conversation, what advice would you give your younger self?
If I had the you know, the, for some magical reason, I would get to go back and see, I would punch myself in the mouth.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be like, dude, wake up. What are you doing? I would beat myself up. Oh, and I'll probably win.
Probably
because I was skinny, but like you
know, twig. If you get to go back, go ahead and punch me too.
All right,
okay. Okay, do you prefer summer or winter?
Summer, winter. Work, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's pretty slow in the winter, but
right,
summer, it's great. I love it.
More okay, work. What is your best feature?
I guess I'm just a people person. You know, I like to talk a lot. Like, even when I go to, like, clients.
Yeah.
We just go off topic and we're like, hey, you know, what's going on here? And then we're, oh, yeah, I'm here to give you an estimate.
Yeah.
So I like to talk a lot.
That's a good thing.
I just like to be social. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. What was your favorite cartoon growing up?
Los Simpsons.
The Simpsons. I know that answer. I hated them yellow things.
It was that them. And then Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, Dragon
Ball Z. The Simpsons and
Dragon Ball Z. Like,
I still watch Dragon Ball Z, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
I only watched it when I was with you.
I haven't moved on.
You haven't moved on? Pokemon still around.
Yeah.
What song do you have on repeat?
There's a song, and I'm going to see if I can. I think I have your Wi-Fi still. I'm connected to your Wi-Fi.
You are?
Yes.
That's how you know we close.
Well, ask me something else, and then.
Okay. Do you believe in the afterlife? And if so, describe what you think it's like.
I do believe in the afterlife. I think God's gonna, you're gonna basically just put everything to rest, and you're just gonna be happily ever after. This is this is just temporary.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Okay.
Well, going back to the last question, it's called "Let It Go" from Zach Brown.
Oh, Let It Go.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to hear it.
Yeah,
is it like a ballad or what is it?
No, I'll play a little bit of it. It's country.
Wow.
Yeah, I play that a lot.
You know, I don't like country, but that's a good song.
Yeah.
It's really resonating with today's topic.
Exactly.
Did you always like country?
I like country. I didn't like it at first.
I was going to say, I don't remember you liking country.
No, I actually started to like it whenever I used to work. Like I said, I've always been painting. But back then, I used to work for companies. And this one time, I used to work with this American, and he would always play country. Mm. You were not allowed to touch the radio, man. He's like, that's my radio. You better touch. If you touch it, you're fired.
Oh, damn.
And so he would play the country, like a country station, every single day. And you just grow. You got
to have no choice.
Yeah, man. He got to me, and I was like, oh, now now my brother likes it too.
Really?
Yeah, he loves country as well.
You should introduce him to like our cumbias, like, you know, Coahuila cumbias.
He likes that as well, but he also likes country.
What song were we both playing? It was two different songs. Okay. What is one thing you would change about the world?
Religion. Mm. Religion, man. Just let people be.
Yeah.
Believe what you want to believe, but don't make that your main priority, man.
Yeah, to make it upon other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever regretted something you did not say or do?
Everything I just told you, and say it to all those people that kind of took advantage of me growing up, you know, like I just feel like
if you could say something to them today, what would you say to them?
It wouldn't be anything. I would just be like, where were you when I needed you? I mean, all this time, where were you?
Is there any answer that's justifiable?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't care. I got through it. So,
okay. Gotcha. Okay, what's the one thing you'd like others to remember about you at the end of your life?
That I wasn't an asshole. Yeah, I mean, that I was always... I'm trying to be a good person.
Yeah.
Overall, you know, I'm trying to set a good example for my kids. And,
yeah.
And be like, yeah, he died, but he wasn't an asshole.
I've seen you in your like attitude moments, and I'm glad that we never had those together. Like, you never been rude to me.
Yeah.
But like, I remember because we were talking about Juan being here on season 2, and he was like, man, I cannot believe you didn't make him mad. I was like, I don't know. I've never seen him like that upset. So to me, you're not an asshole, but I mean, I don't know. I guess to other people, you may seem like it, or
maybe just my tone. I'm like, just like not. If I have the right to be an asshole, and it's within reason, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I'll fight you in the freaking street. Come on, let's go. Let's throw some hands.
Watch out, I have a high kick. Is there such thing as perfect?
No. There's always room for error.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so imperfect.
Yep.
I get you. Okay. What do you imagine yourself doing 10 years from now?
10 years from now, I want to have a better business, and I want to live out in the country in a farmhouse or, you know, out there with my own fishing pond and just...
You do like fishing a lot.
Yeah.
I still don't get what's interesting about that. Like,
it's just relaxing, man.
You think so?
Catch and release.
You release them? You don't eat them?
No. Some of them I do, but most of the time I just let them go. That feel bad.
Poor fishies.
Poor fish. One time we went fishing, and we went to this guided fishing trip, and Juan and his brother were all, you know, it's like we were all there.
Yeah.
And there's one specific type of fish that is called a bass, and those are game fish. You know what a game fish is? Mm. It's illegal to take it home.
Oh, okay.
So unless it's like if they put a restriction, you can't take it home. So like that one time, I happened to catch it. Like if you wound it, you got to take it. But if you can let it go, you have to release. And that one time, because we were drifting, and I caught something. I was like, oh, I got something. So I'll reel it in.
Yeah.
And I put it in the boat. And then it got in, like the gill got injured. Oh. And his brother was like, Jorge, put it back, man. Put it back. And I was like, okay, should I put it back? So I guess the guy that was doing the fishing trip,
yeah,
like he's very specific about putting all the fish in the boat, because right there you fish for like striper.
Okay.
So for him, it's better to catch more because he takes pictures and puts them on his website. And
oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm the best guide. So
yeah.
And then he's like, come on, man, put it back, put it back. I'm like, dude, it's dying. You know, it's been so long.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, yeah, los ojos ya están. So we took it home. I think he ate it. I think he was him.
That sounds delicious.
No, ya los ojos ya se le voltearon.
Oh, my God. Okay. Do you think crying is a sign of weakness or strength?
No. It's a sign of strength, because it takes a man to just say, I'm sorry. I mean, like me with my dad. I mean, it took courage for me to accept that, you know, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you like express your emotions by crying, that means you're being truthful.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a sign of strength.
Yeah. So I agree. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. It's been a while. It has been. We need to do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like on other topics we're funnier. You know, but yeah. This is kind of one of those serious topics. So, you know, I'm glad people got to see a different side of you, because I don't feel like, you know, a lot of people get to see that.
So. Yeah. Like I said, the people that know me from before, like they, like you said, they have that mentality, like that picture of me when I was like 18 and this.
Yeah.
I'm not that person anymore.
Right.
I'm still cool, man. Yeah. I'm just not into that anymore.
Yeah. And it's okay. You're allowed. You know, everybody's allowed to have their own opinion. Everybody's allowed to have their own feelings. And so I'm glad. I'm happy to see you happy.
And I'm glad to see you again, man. It's been a while, and I'm glad you're doing well, and this is growing, and I like to see you succeed, and I really hope that this goes somewhere. And
I hope so too.
Who knows? I mean, maybe you being on TV with your own, or your own radio show.
Oh God.
Who knows, man?
Maybe. Hopefully. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. Yeah. I'm open to whatever. You know, but I am learning a lot, so I'm having fun.
That's all that matters, sure. Man.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm happy to see you again, and it's like I said, me and you go way back.
Yeah,
and you were my best friend.
Yeah.
when we met, and we were always together.
Yeah,
and we've been through quite a bit.
We have, yeah, we have. Well, and I thank you so much, and thank you for coming by. And I'm here for you. You know where I live. Thanks. You got my number. You got everything that you need. So I'm here for you.
I could have walked, but it's like really cold.
No, don't walk.
It's like, because I live like right there. Like,
yeah, he lives like right behind me. But no, don't walk. It was super cold today too.
Yeah, I think it's
getting ready for the snow tomorrow.
Oh man,
I know. Well, I don't know when everybody's listening to this, but we're about to get snow tomorrow. So
I'm so done with this winter.
Me too. And I love the winter, but I'm done. Like I'm just done.
Yeah, I'm done too.
Yeah, but this is Oklahoma though. You know, we don't want to move. So whose fault is that? That's all I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming by. And listeners, thank you so much for listening. And I really, really appreciate you guys listening for this series that I had done here. I appreciate everybody. Go to www.fullerbrown.com. Leave us a review. Leave us a voicemail. Leave us some love, you know. And just until the next time, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.